You knew that you were on German land. Then, from there, you went, to where?
Hamburg.
To Hamburg, yes. Uh-huh.
And there that we met the family.
Uh-huh, your mother and your sisters and your brother.
And then we took a boat and we went to the United States.
Yes, and you, on the boat, you were in what compartment? Where were you?
Steerage.
In the steerage. And there were many who were...
The only one who was in the second class was my mother.
Your mother was in second class.
Yeah.
It cost more money, of course.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And did she sometimes bring you up so you could breathe?
Not when
no,
when
she couldn't do
it. No, she came down.
She came down to see you, but you could never go up to see her. And do you, for example, are the friends that you made in Pittsburgh are very... Or how are they as far as your friendships?
Right.
They're still,
yeah.
You still see one another. During these first 5 years, did you maintain any contacts with people in Europe or any other parts of the world? And what were these contacts?
With people in Israel.
With people in Israel?
Yeah.
I mean, you had friends who had left
Russia? Magnus was there. Dr. Magnus, my correspondent with him.
Was he from your town? Was he from? No.
He was from New York.
Yes.
There was a rabbi in New York. And he became the head of the university.
Yes, I know.
In Israel. And I had students at a school who graduated and they didn't want to be rabbi. They had a young man by the name Goldberg. Let's see, what was his first name?
Yes.
And when he graduated from the institute, he wanted to know what he should do. So I advised him to go to the Yeshiva University, which he did.
In New York, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
He was there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came to see me again and said, what shall I do now? I said, now you can go to the Jewish Theological Seminar. It won't hurt you anymore.
Yeah,
but it did.
Why would it have hurt him if he went directly to the Jewish Theological Seminar?
It isn't as orthodox as he was.
I see.
Then at the end of when he graduated from the seminar, he came in to see me again.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know that I don't want to be a rabbi. And I knew it. What shall I do now? I said to him, I'll give you a letter to Dr. Magnus.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Israel. Mm-hmm. Dr. Magnus will take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And he went there, studied at the Hebrew University. He's now a professor of Talmud at the University.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. He visited me about 2 years ago.
Is he teaching you now?
He's teaching Talmud.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. That is interesting. So you actually guided students who wanted to know what they should do.
Let me tell you some more about it.
Uh-huh.
While in Pittsburgh, you know, we had good students at the school.
Mm-hmm.
But they were poor.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever I found a student worthwhile and couldn't go to university, I saw to it that he got a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the university, but from private people.
I see.
See, I had contact with people.
Yes.
So all it was necessary for me to call up, I want a scholarship for it. I didn't even tell them for whom.
I see.
They didn't want to know, as long as, and they paid the tuition.
Uh-huh.
I came in one day, corner 9th and Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a youngster there selling papers, and he impressed me a great deal. I called him over. I said, how much do you make a week from selling papers? He says, $2.50. Said, if I pay you the $2.50, will you go to the institute to study? He was 9 years old. He said, I will. on Monday he came in to register. Mm-hmm. He turned out to be one of the ablest youngsters. Mm-hmm. That later on I got him scholarships to the university. Mm-hmm. He's a big attorney today.
Right.
He's on our mm-hmm. board.
I see. Uh-huh.
And he still remembers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was worthwhile.
Yes, yes. You had sort of an intuitive feeling about children. You could tell if they had that quality. Yes.
I did that to hundreds of them.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And the people were always ready to help along.
Because they knew you would only suggest someone who
really
had an
ability.
Yes, uh-huh.
Then later on, the neighborhood communities didn't have rabbis.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So I took some of these youngsters and sent them to those communities. They were
mm-hmm.
commuted.
I see. Yes.
This way we supplied them. We supplied Greensburg with a teacher. We
mm-hmm.
supplied Butler with a teacher.
I see.
The Willing with a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Ambridge with a teacher. I mean, we did that
yes.
all over.
Yes.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And it helped these youngsters because
mm-hmm.
they were paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way we worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it was during the Depression days and people were poor. And many children came to the school and I watched their shoes. It's interesting.
Uh-huh.
When I saw the kid didn't have the right kind of shoes, I called up friends.
Mm.
I said, I want, I'm sending it down a child,
mm-hmm.
give him the pair of shoes.
Ah.
And the same held good for clothing, coats. I mean,
yes.
they were,
yes.
I mean, Lou Gordon, boy, you don't remember, he's dead.
Yes.
Whenever you want anything, just send them down to me. Same thing, walk. Same thing, Lou Shapiro, as far as shoes are concerned. You'd be surprised how good these people were.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way we worked.
Yeah. The people, they helped one another.
Oh, yeah.
Each person, which is really a wonderful quality. I wonder, do we find these qualities today?
Well, once in a while.
We don't need them as much.
No, once in a while
mm-hmm.
we find here a youngster who needs
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So we do call out people, and they do. But not as much as during the Depression.
Uh-huh. No. One of the questions that Joe asked was, what are the productive ways for retirement? In other words, how can a person easily go into retirement, would you say?
You know, I went into retirement when I was 84.
When you're 84.
I
told you there wasn't an answer to this because you haven't retired, so how could you really answer this, did you?
Well, I did retire, but the point is this. I started to build the first building when I was 65.
I see. Uh-huh. You mean the first building right here, don't you? Yes.
And the second building when I was 82.
Another question that Joe asked is, how did your age group feel with World War I? Were you fighting against maybe even Jews from Germany or Austria? What was your feeling about that?
Well, I tell you, when World War I was declared, it was anticipable. And the 9th of August. Same day when the temple was destroyed years ago.
Yes.
And I made a remark that this war will bring Israel back.
After World War One.
That's when the Balfour Declaration. But I said when the war started,
mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
said this is the beginning
mm-hmm.
of the Jewish return.
That's interesting. And it was, too.
It was
the Balfour Declaration.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you have any feelings about, though, fighting against?
No.
No,
that didn't mean anything.
Yes, yes. Another question is that one of the things we've seen is that when you came to Pittsburgh, the Jews lived in the ghetto. There were, now, then they moved out of the ghetto, and now today they seem to want to move back in. What do you observe on that?
The Jewish ghetto is different than the regular ghetto.
Yes.
Ghetto was a place where the Jews concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
The homes were beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
But they concentrated in a certain neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Then when
when you first reached Pittsburgh, you remember I was going to ask you this, your first day in the United States. You had told me that when you first arrived here, there was nothing special about it. You were looking forward, you felt it. There was nothing about it that you anticipated.
Well, the only thing is, a little later, see, I went to visit the schools in Boston. I was greatly disappointed, but there was nothing there.
Yes, uh-huh. Then, when you were in Baltimore and you came to Pittsburgh from Baltimore.
I was invited.
You were invited to Pittsburgh. Do you remember your first day in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
What was it like? Tell me your impression.
I came here on a Friday. And I was met by Mr. Rosenblum. Mr. Rosenblum was the president. Not Charlie, but his father. He didn't meet me in the house. He says, let's meet in the park. He used to live at the Shanley Hotel. He said, let's meet in the park. And I met him in the Shanley Park. He sat down on a bench and we were talking. He was reciting to me part of the Guide of Perplex by Maimonides in Hebrew. He was scholar. And I interpret certain things to him. I mean, I wasn't an ignoramus at the time either. So after I got through, he says, you're our man. He says, if you make the same impression on me as you made on Mr. Aaron as you made on me, then you're...
That was a very interesting way of interviewing you. He didn't ask you any questions about yourself.
No, they
knew
something.
He just asked for an interpretation.
They knew something
about
me.
Very interesting. He could tell that you were very well versed in
And the next day,
philosophy.
I met Mr. Aaron, Lewis I. Aaron, his pictures in the office. And after talking to him, he said the same thing to me. He said, you're
so
our
you
man.
You were decided.
I was engaged for the same salary that I used to get in Pittsburgh,
in
Baltimore. But a year later, when, oh wait, didn't tell you the whole story. Well, we opened the school November 7th, 1916. I mean, first of all, when I came, the school wasn't finished yet. They didn't have the money to finish it. So they stopped building.
Did they have any day, any afternoon school? Or,
no,
they did have something
nothing.
With the synagogue.
There was
didn't
nothing.
They?
There was nothing.
Nothing
no.
at all.
The only
in
thing
Pittsburgh.
That was there was the Tree of Life. Tree of Life and the Talmud Torah. There was a Talmud Torah on Carver Street, a small place. And that building was, they stopped building it. Well, I didn't like the idea to come to a building that I cannot open. At that time, there was, I don't know whether you remember them, there was a store known as the Frank and Cedar store.
Yes, I do remember.
Cedar I knew well.
In
fact, as I knew his whole family from
Me
Europe.
From Baltimore. No, from Europe. He was from...
He was from Meritz.
From
a small city.
I see, near Vilna.
Well, he was a member of the board.
I
went out to, see him. I said, the building is not finished, but the principal is here. I said, what do you want me to do? I said, I want you to arrange a dinner with the board. And I want to talk at that dinner. Arrange a dinner of all the directors of the institute. He says, what do you intend to do? He said, there is already a mortgage on the building, $25,000. I want to sell second mortgage bonds. And we'll pay 4%. He says, I'm with you and I'm buying the first $5,000.
Really? That was a clever idea to do this.
Well, he had a dinner. There were 17
How did you get this idea?
Well, I had to see that the building was finished.
But the idea...
Well, I wasn't an ignoramus in
finances. You were always interested in finances.
So when we came together, I spoke to them and I told them what I want. I said, here are second mortgage notes. You can buy 1,000 or you can buy more. And we'll pay you 4%. I sold $17,000 bonds. But the interesting part is this. During the year, so the school was so successful that everybody turned in their bonds. They didn't even collect the 4% besides one. One told me that next year he'll give me his bond.
Yeah.
But next year never came for him.
I see.
Passed away.
Oh.
Well, anyway, that was the beginning of the Hebrew Institute.
Uh-huh.
And when we opened the school, 1,300 children registered.
Oh, my.
And we had room only for 700.
Imagine starting with 1,300.
There was nothing. There was nothing
imagine.
There.
Imagine. There must have been such
before.
A thirst, such a desire.
Yeah.
That so is amazing, huh?
I called together the directors, and I told them I cannot handle 1,300 children in this building.
How would you get all the staff?
Well,
there was no
room.
Yes, yes, uh-huh.
So I told them I figured out I can handle 743 children.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm going to pick them. I told him, I'm not going to take any advanced students. I'm going to start with all beginners.
Ah.
And during the year, school made progress because they were all beginners.
Yes. You could be assured that they would make progress.
Well, I knew that.
Uh-huh.
4 years
uh-huh.
later, we opened our high school. 6 years later, we opened our teacher's training school. Right in the building. And then the school was crowded.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to build another floor.
Uh-huh.
And I told them, before you build another floor,
yeah.
I want to find out the condition of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll report to you in a week's time.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I went out and stood on the corner,
mm-hmm.
corner Wiley and Green.
Mm-hmm.
For a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
I marked down the people who passed me by,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and I found 50% white and 50% color.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him, you'll have to wait another year until I make another survey like that.
Mm-hmm.
Next year I did the same thing, and I found this time 60% color and 40% light.
Mm-hmm.
I told them we're not building here. Then I started the Keeper Census. See, I wanted to know the number of children in the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
the number of children who are absent on Yom Kippur,
mm-hmm.
Jewish children.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up to the Board of Education. Marcus Aaron was at that time the president. But he didn't want to give it to me.
Didn't he? But although he was on the board of the
that makes
Hebrew
no
Institute.
No, he was not on the board of deans. He
oh.
was the son of the man
ah,
who gave me the first
I
money.
I see.
But
had he gone to the Hebrew Institute?
No.
No, he hadn't. I see.
No,
uh-huh.
but
uh-huh.
the director of,
yeah.
of education
uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh.
said, I'll see that you get it.
Uh-huh.
And for
really?
24 years, I got each year.
Did you?
The mm-hmm. names and addresses.
Mm-hmm.
1 year I got
right.
the Dillinger children.
The what?
Dillinger.
Oh.
Two names.
Oh, I see.
From
I see.
One of the schools.
I see.
So I went up to the school and I said, why did you give me Dillinger children
mm-hmm.
as Jewish?
Mm-hmm.
So the teacher said, the father is not Jewish,
mm-hmm.
but the mother is.
I
that's why you have them. They go after the mother.
Oh.
Which is correct.
That's right.
And I have a record of all
I see.
The.
I see.
So the first year that I took a census, there were 4,900 Jewish children in the
uh-huh.
Hilders district.
Uh-huh.
Second year, there were only 4,600.
I see.
The third year, it dropped to 4,000.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Years later, it dropped to nothing. That's when
you see, you're really a social scientist. This is
well,
you're a social scientist. You evaluated what was happening to a
oh,
neighborhood.
I know. See,
uh-huh.
here's the thing: the Iron Kaufman at that
yeah.
time was going to build.
Yes, yes.
And I had already my figures. I knew
I
that
see.
The neighborhood was dropping at
I
a rate
see.
Of 500 uh-huh. families a year.
I see.
See,
uh-huh.
and I appeared before them.
I see.
And I, uh-huh. I showed them the figures, but
yes.
they decided to build anyway.
There at the
yeah,
at that
Kaufman,
district.
Yeah.
I see.
And they
I
built.
See. I see.
And they were there only 6 years. Now it's
uh-huh.
it's in ruins.
Yes. Did it burn? Was that one of the buildings that burned recently?
No, it
no,
was
just
it was deteriorated. Before.
Was it broken up? Nothing's
no.
being used in that
no.
building, or is there? So then,
now,
yeah.
The next thing is, uh-huh. see, when I opened the school with
mm-hmm.
743 children,
mm-hmm.
I opened the kindergarten. That
uh-huh.
was the first kindergarten in the United States. When I opened the kindergarten, and also a...
Well, weren't the children going to regular kindergarten in the public school?
There
did
were
they,
no kindergartens
they didn't have
yet.
School. I see.
I opened the kindergarten,
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
and I opened, not an all-day school, but
yes.
I opened it after the second grade. See, we had a right to teach secular education up to the third grade.
I see.
So I opened that classes too.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Sidney Teller came to the Allen Kaufman Center.
Mm-hmm.
And when he heard about it, he called together 71 people. Among the 71 was Aaron, the one that I got the money for the building.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they all agreed not to support the institute.
Not to support
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because it's a parochial school.
Oh.
They were against it. The next day, Aaron came in to see me.
Yeah.
He said, instead of running the school next year, you'll have to do something else.
You mean Taylor had such a dynamic personality?
71
that
people.
That he could convince those
yeah, 71
against
people
a
together.
Day school?
Together with a rabbi
right.
of William Shawn Temple.
Why
at that time,
the rabbi want a full-day school?
No, they didn't want it.
No.
Rabbi Levy was at that time the rabbi.
Was he a reform rabbi?
Reform rabbi, that's the word of
Shawn.
So when Aaron came in and told me the story, I said, I certainly have a job on my hands.
Uh-huh.
Took me an entire year to visit these 70 people.
Uh-huh.
The first one I visited was I.W. Frank. You don't know, he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big man in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
a very wealthy man.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down with him.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I was through with him, he says, put me down for $500 a year.
For an all-day Jewish school?
No, not
for the afternoon.
Yeah.
But you had started an all-day for the second grade.
Just the two grades.
Yes, uh-huh.
And the last man that I saw was Falk.
Oh, yeah.
William Falk
yes.
Jr., not the one who is now.
No, the father,
Falk.
The father,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I came
the
there.
The Falk Sr.
No,
right?
He called himself
Junior.
Junior, uh-huh. Yeah.
I see.
He just lived on Woodland Road.
Yes. Did he?
I came there at 10 o'clock in the evening,
uh-huh.
and I left 4 in the morning.
Really? Uh-huh.
And before I left,
uh-huh.
he says, why don't you come and run our school?
No.
The Road of Shalom.
The Road of Shalom.
I said, I'm not interested in Sunday school. I'm interested in intensive Jewish
yes.
education.
Yes.
He says, put me down $500.
Good.
I turned all the 70 people
really?
Who were there. The only one that I couldn't turn is the one who passed away, and that was Rabbi Levy.
I see.
He passed away during the year.
I see.
But all the others became friends of the Institute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the way we started
out. Well, Rosenblum was a friend of the Institute
yeah.
from the beginning,
oh, yes,
wasn't
yeah,
he? I mean,
yes.
there wasn't any question.
Yeah.
So that they were questioning whether you should continue an after-day school. Is this right?
No.
This was their criticism that they wanted to
stop
that?
No, they wanted to stop that school at the kindergarten, also the...
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But we didn't stop it.
Yes. But did they want to stop your after-day school? They wanted you to stop the kindergarten and the second grade, but did they want to stop the after-day?
No, nobody didn't want to support it.
No one wanted to support it. But then it continued. Did you continue with a kindergarten?
The kindergarten
and
the others dropped out.
And the others dropped out.
You see, the question was,
uh-huh.
the younger child
mm-hmm.
couldn't go to school by himself. We didn't have transportation yet. Mm-hmm. So they had to have an older brother, older
sister,
take them.
Yes.
Take them. So they couldn't bring him to the institute. So that's where we ran into trouble.
I see.
So after running it for 4 years, we had to drop it.
Mm-hmm.
But the kindergarten, we did continue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in 1916.
Mm-hmm.
In 1920, we bought the first car. I didn't buy the first car. That's interesting. I was going to buy buses.
Yes. I want to be sure that this is catching. Just a minute. Yes, you're going to buy buses. Uh-huh.
But before I was going to buy them, I wanted to know the mechanism of a car.
Uh-huh.
Because I knew it was expensive. If it breaks down, it would be expensive to fix it.
Yes.
So I had a friend who had a big garage on Liberty Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I went in to see him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "What do you want to do?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "I want to take the car apart and I want to put it together again."
See, I think it's already finished. All right. Huh?
You don't remember the Vinton?
No.
It used to be a Vinton Packard.
Mm-hmm.
Big cars.
Mm-hmm.
16-cylinder car.